This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Chris Velasco, and it's just great to have a chance to catch up.
Yeah, I'm. It's always a pleasure to talk to you about this stuff.
You know, I was listening to your Carrion soundtrack while we were having just an epic storm, and it didn't help at all. It's just terrifying. So congratulations on writing another horror masterpiece.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's funny that Mother Nature intervenes to give you a cool setting to listen to it in.
Yeah, for sure. And the game is getting such great reviews, and the review in the Washington Post cautioned people to not play it before bedtime. And so it must be fun to be part of a project that's being so well received.
It really is. And all credit goes to the guys at Phobia Games. I mean, this game was essentially built by two guys in Poland. So they are just absolute geniuses to be able to pull this off.
The whole premise of the game is so fascinating because it's a reverse horror game. So you get to play as this hideous monster that has gotten loose in a lab, and it's killing all the scientists and trying to escape and seek revenge. And was it as much fun to write the music as it sounds like?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've been such a horror fan, and usually the music is, you know, from your perspective and trying to either kill the monster or escape from the monster, or just, you know, it's all about like you're scared. And so it was just so cool to have this kind of what they're calling the reverse horror game, where you're playing the monster and you just feel this sense of power as you're going through the levels, demolishing everything and eating every human in sight. And yeah, it was a total blast to write for.
I'll bet. I'm just curious about like where your sympathies were with the game. I mean, were you sympathetic to the monster, or did you kind of feel for all the poor scientists who were getting eaten and slammed against the walls?
You know, I gotta say I was on Team Monster. You know, you've got to think like, well, what was it doing in the lab? Like, why was it in that containment unit? You know, what were these scientists doing to this poor thing? And then, you know, these scientists have like flamethrowers and giant mechs, and every guy in a white, you know, lab coat seems to have a gun, and they were up to, you know, something nefarious in there. So I think the monster was well within its rights.
You know, I'm always so curious about where you get started with a project like this. And the main theme is just so full of like dread and menace. And is that something that you worked on initially kind of as a demo track for the team, or did it come later? Or I'm just curious about how you got started.
Yeah, the main theme was the very first thing I wrote. And as it usually is in games, I kind of like to flesh out the thematic material right from the beginning, so I have that to draw from. And, you know, the main theme, I must have gone through, I don't know, five or six versions of it before we kind of landed on this one. And Carrion is this more of a retro style game, and it's got the, you know, the kind of 8-bit, 16-bit look to it. And I knew I didn't want to go chiptune with this. And in fact, my whole kind of initial pitch to them was, you've got this retro game, like let's put a super cinematic soundtrack with it. And which they thought was cool. But originally I definitely kind of went more old school with the theme. And it was definitely more John Carpenter influenced. And it just didn't quite feel right. And so we wanted to find something that was, you know, sort of unique to Carrion. And at the end, not just with the theme, but with a lot of the tracks, my first stop for inspiration was sort of, well, what if we took kind of Jerry Goldsmith's score to Alien, plus mix in some John Carpenter, plus mix in some Penderecki, especially because these guys are Polish, and I thought that'd be, and it fit anyways. And then kind of mix that together and see kind of what would come out of that. And yeah, that was sort of my first stop for inspiration.
Wow. Well, it must be nice to have that main theme kind of nailed down, because then it can be the seed that you can kind of use to germinate other cues too. So that theme, it sounds to me, it does appear in a lot of the other cues, and so it must have been nice to have that to kind of build the other music around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've done projects before where we just, for one reason or another, had to jump right into kind of gameplay cues, and I didn't have the main theme locked down yet. And then when you finally do, you're kind of going through the music, and it's like, well, gosh, we're really missing a major ingredient here in the score. And then that will sometimes force me to go back and revisit cues I've already written and try to insert a theme. And that's not always the easiest thing, and sometimes it just feels kind of heavy-handed as well. So yeah, I definitely prefer to come up with the thematic material first.
Yeah, because then it has a really organic sound, and everything kind of relates to everything else in a really cool way. And I was wondering, because the first time we talked was about the music that you wrote for Resident Evil 7, and you said that they had given you access to this sound library that included beehives and samples of a guy practically drowning on some water. And so I'm wondering,
Yeah.
what did you do to build the sound library for Carrion?
A few things. One of the first things I did was, get a hold of some actual sound effects libraries, and I knew I wanted to try to take some of these kind of horrific sounds you might find in a horror trailer, like screaming and the splattering of blood and creaky doors and doors slamming and that sort of like typical sort of horror ish stuff, and then pull those into my sequencer and manipulate them in ways that made sense with music too. So it didn't just sound like oh, there's a person screaming. It's I really spent a lot of time kind of tweaking those and adding different effects and to make them musical. So there was that aspect of literally using sound design. And then, the monster is this big kind of amorphous mass with tentacles and mouths. And I really wanted a sound that could be, again, musical, and represent the monster. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, the kids seemed to. There was this kind of slime phase. You go walk into a store, and there's all these little canisters of slime. And my niece and nephew were into it also. And everybody, all these kids had these just blobs of disgusting slime. And so my friend had kids that were, under 10, and they were super into slime. And I went to his house, and he's a composer also and has a studio, and we took some of his kids' slime and got it wet, and just I spent an afternoon just squishing that thing and in front of a microphone, and and we made a sample library of slime, and even did, I would like squish it in rhythms and just whatever sounds I could get out of it, and then you like drench that in reverb and delay and pitch it down, and suddenly it's this grotesque sound that all originated from a 99-cent, thing of slime that those kids had, and that is in a lot of the tracks actually, and it's one of those sounds too that you would never maybe even notice. Like, I don't know if you could go and be like, oh, I hear it, I hear the slime. But if I took it out, you would for sure miss it.
Yeah, no, I definitely noticed it because there are some tracks that are just so unsettling with this really disgusting sound that's part of like the whole wash, and I couldn't pin it down, but it did sound kind of squishy, and so now I know that that's what it was. That part of composing and working on the sound for a game, that must be so much fun.
It is, and it's something that I really need to do more of, but a lot of projects I do are just fully orchestral, and there's not really a lot of room to experiment with that kind of a thing. But that's what's so great about horror in general too, is it's just so open to experimentation. I mean, spending, half a day recording slime and then having margaritas by the pool is a pretty fun composing day.
Yeah, I mean, you must have to like poke yourself and say, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this.
Seriously.
You mentioned orchestral, writing orchestral music for scores, and we've talked about some of those, like the Invisible Hours. And one of the things that really struck me with your Carrion soundtrack is when you do use the strings, because here we are in this really scary alien world, and most of the sounds really can't be identified. And yet, when the strings come in, it's like there's this kind of human element. And I don't know, this is not really a question, but I was just wondering if that was part of the reason why you used strings in the score.
Well, I wasn't trying to humanize the monster in any way. I think that would kind of be the wrong way to go for this game. My background is orchestra, and that's just kind of where my brain goes initially all the time, is like, okay, strings. And I mean, they're so emotive, and you can do the creepiest things with strings, besides, playing these big majestic melodies. So there's tons of kind of aleatoric type string sounds like throughout the whole thing. I was actually all set. We were going to record the score live, and then of course COVID hit and no one was recording anymore. So I had to cancel my whole recording date for that, and then I wound up just recording soloists. And I've got tons of friends that are musicians, and I picked my favorite ones, and they're also set up to record at home. So all the strings you hear are actually live, but it's soloists just layering on top of themselves to beef up the sound a little bit. But yeah, we did manage to get a live score or just some live strings in there.
That's amazing. I mean, because it sounds like a chamber orchestra. So, congratulations. Well done, because it really sounds like they were all in the same place at the same time.
Well, that's the magic of my mixer, Daniel Cresco. He took all these raw samples and then works his magic to make sure it all works together.
it's just such a powerful effect with the strings and then these sounds. And it sounds also like you've got some instruments that are doing what they're not supposed to do, like a cello that's being tortured. and some really...
Oh, man, that cellist is amazing. He's this guy in Peru, actually. And I gave him a little bit of direction, but the tracks were finished. And then he kind of added this sort of final layer on top of some of the tracks and gave me, you know, tons of material. And then that was all edited into the tracks and manipulated more with some distortion and panning and like rotating and just all kinds of weird stuff. But it was kind of just this idea that I had at the very end. And then once we put that on the finished tracks, it was like, oh my God, this was exactly what it needed.
Yeah, and you can just imagine that this poor monster, well, the poor monster, this monster, you know, those might be some of the sounds that it had been making after all this time in the lab being treated by the scientists, and or who knows what happened to it. We don't even know, but...
Yeah, that could very well be its language.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only just... able to be reproduced through tortured cello.
You know, it almost seems like the environments are their own character. They're as much a character as the little scientists and the monster. And so as you were working on this during the process, how much did those environments influence the music?
Definitely a little bit. You know, as you progress through the game, there's kind of a jungle type vibe that you eventually get into. And then there's a lot of underwater stuff and, you know, those, I definitely tried to do some more environmental style music just to change things up. So the score, you know, evolved as the levels did too.
So, how much time did you have to put the score together?
Well, I worked on it on and off for like 2 years. And just because, again, it was two guys making the game. So, they were doing it nonstop. I mean, their hour, it was so funny because their hours in Poland became pretty much Pacific Standard Time. So we were always able to chat. Those guys were just working through the night into the morning. And, I'd be talking to them online and they'd be like, well, it's 6 a.m. here. I should probably go to bed. And so the game took a number of years to finish. And I got involved fairly early. So there wasn't a ton of for me to do. Every now and then they would finish a new level and they'd show it to me. And it's like, here you go, you can write some music. And so I was just really sporadically for about 2 years. And then at the end, as it all started coming together, that's so kind of the end of last year and early this year is when I put in the bulk of the work.
Was there a moment where I would love to hear as you experienced the game, did they send you like video playthroughs or did you have a chance to play kind of a mock-up of it so you could hear how the music was going to fit?
Yeah, they sent me videos whenever I asked, and also, gave me the downloader so that I could play the game myself from my computer. And so yeah, that's always super helpful to experience the game firsthand while you're writing.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I'd love to know if there were some moments where, even though maybe you knew what was coming and you knew how the music was going to sound, were there some moments that kind of stood out and like genuinely scared you?
I don't know if I would say I was scared because you're playing, this creature, and the further along in the game you get, the more powerful you are, and you can eventually turn invisible and evade things, and you get so huge at the end of the game that you just kind of slither into a room and just it's instant destruction of everything. And I just felt so empowered as that monster that for me it was just kind of sitting back in a chair and laughing maniacally instead of being scared.
Yeah, it's got to be a different kind of mindset because normally, even if in a normal game you get more and more powers and your character becomes more powerful, and then you deal with bosses and you've most of the time got the skill set or the power-ups or whatever to deal with the boss. But how did that, I mean, not having bosses, being the boss, how did that like turn things on its head for you for creating these moments of tension?
I don't know that I sometimes when I'm writing, I'm often embarrassed to say, like, someone's like, well, how did you come up with that? And what were you thinking here? And it kind of reminds me of being in school and studying Bach chorales and learning, like, oh my God, look at this fancy chord progression he did. And this is the dominant of this other chord, and then that, and now that's the tonic, and he's changing keys, and it's like, oh my God, his brilliance. And I always thought when I first started writing, it's like, okay, I have to think about this. I have to, music is so related to math, and I have to get in there. And I thought I had to take this highbrow approach to writing. And over the years, I've discovered it's just I'm writing from the heart. And when I try to write from the head, that's usually when I stop being creative and I get stuck on something. And so writing for games too, I'm definitely inspired completely by the game, but I don't know that I'm ever taking something super into account. It's like, okay, how would I write because this is happening? I just kind of get inspired by the game, let that wash over me, and then just see what comes out.
with this one. What I love about it is that the music is so intertwined with the sound design, and there are so many moments where you can't really tell where the sound design leaves off and the music starts. And so you've really put something together that's just so seamless, and it's just amazing. So congratulations. I mean, just great job.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
You know, you've worked on so many terrifying scores, and what scares you? I mean, when you're listening to like somebody else's soundtrack or you're listening to one of yours, are there moments where you're like, whoa, I need to dial it back, or that is really scary?
Usually if I'm listening to other kind of scary-ish music, it's not so much like, oh my God, that was so scary. It's kind of like, oh my God, that was so brilliant. Like, what is that? What's that sound? Like, how can I try to replicate that and kind of inject it into my own music, because it's so cool. The only time I've ever written something that was deemed too disturbing was, gosh, a decade ago at least, probably longer than that, when I was working on Clive Barker's game, Jericho, and there was a scene that had all these kind of like these little dead baby creatures. And in the track I was doing, I found recordings of babies crying, and I put that into the score and kind of manipulated them too, but it was 100%. You could hear babies crying in the score. And it was definitely just disturbing. And I turned that in, and they said, oh my God, that's like, take that out. Nobody can hear that.
Wow.
It's just too horrible. It's too horrible. Take it out.
Oh man. Well, I suppose you have to push the envelope just to see where the limits are. So.
Yep. That's the limit.
Well, besides being able to spend an afternoon recording squishy slime, I mean, were there other things that you were able to try out on this score for Carry On that you hadn't had a chance to do before?
You know, I've been experimenting with kind of electronic music for years now, but I definitely kind of pushed myself further on this one to try just creating new sounds and taking samples that I had and just running them through massive effect chains, and just really spent a lot of time playing, like honestly not even knowing what the hell I was doing, just like, what happens if I take this sound and do this and then do this and do this and then mix it up and try it again, and you know, for the most part it's a failure, but then just kind of that, almost through lack of experience trying this, I was able to, you know, do things like oh my God, you went into the, you know, somebody's house and they had all these ingredients and you just happened to throw together like a fine dining experience, not knowing what you were doing. And it was that kind of experimentation that was just so super fun and just, I think, led to some really interesting sounds.
Yeah, it definitely did. And the soundtrack is just such a rich world of all these different sounds. And I'm just wondering, because it's a shorter game, was writing the music for Carry On any different from any other project, knowing that you didn't have to write music for like a 30 or 40 hour game?
No, not really. Honestly, I had no idea how long the game was even going to be until right before it was coming out. And then, you know, one of my chats with these guys was like, hey, how long is the game? And they're like, oh, it's, you know, depending on your skill level, you know, maybe 3 to 4 hours. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. But throughout the whole thing, I would just write music, and there was kind of no limit to how much I should be writing or how little I should be writing. I would just write tracks and send them in. And then there'd be, you know, some back and forth and like, oh, I think this track needs to be longer or shorter, or, oh, we need this, or, and it'd just be like, okay, cool, let me do that. And then turn that in, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to write another one. Where are we on combat? Do we need some more? And it's like, sure, okay. It was super loose. I mean, working on a truly indie game like this, it was a completely different experience than working on some big AAA project. And I was completely free to really try whatever I wanted. And I never felt like, okay, if I do something that's really off the wall and turn it in, like they're not gonna lose faith in me. And it's not like, writing for whatever huge game where it's like, oh God, Chris, what are you doing? You've jumped the track. For them, it'd just be like, that's interesting. I don't think it's gonna work for this, but it's super interesting. So, anyways, good job, but don't do that. It's just a lot of freedom, and it was relaxing, and it just made it fun to work on.
The overall result of this soundtrack is just horrifying. But again, I would caution people to not listen to it during a storm or before bed. But is there anything that I didn't get around to talking about that you'd like people to know about the process of writing it?
Oh, the one cool thing actually is when we were doing the soundtrack, one thing I've always loved since I was a teenager is when a new album would come out from like a cool metal band that I was really into, and you'd see these like really cool covers, and then you find out later it's like, oh wow, they commissioned this one artist to do this cover for their album. And so I've ever since then I've always thought, man, it would be so amazing to one day commission an artist to do a cover for one of my releases. And I've tried over the years, and it never works because, everybody, the developers usually want to use either somebody internal because they're already on salary and so it's not going to really cost anything, or they want to. It's like, no, we're our branding is super on point this way, so we have to use whatever key art from the game. We're going to use that for the cover, and that totally makes sense too. But this one time, it was, these guys were so open to anything. So one day, I just texted the main guy, Sebastian, and I was like, hey, I've got all these artist friends, and there's this one guy, Dan Quintana, and I really love his art. And check out what he's done, besides being a fine artist, a painter, he also has been doing tons of stuff for like DC Comics, like covers for them and covers for the Heavy Metal magazine, and reimagining movie posters for like big 20th anniversary type releases. So I knew that he was able to work more commercially and, on with a crazy deadline too. So I showed him Dan's work, and they all thought it was awesome. And I said, hey, can we just commission him to do a painting for the main, for the cover for the soundtrack release? And the answer was like, yeah, that sounds cool. Why not? And so we did that. And I don't know if you've seen the art
Oh, it's
for the
gorgeous.
soundtrack cover. Yeah, so that was a commissioned piece. And oh my God, it's like completely embodies Carrion to me. I mean, he totally nailed it. So that was kind of the icing on the cake there at the end, like having done this game and been able to experiment and with all these sounds and the slime and still recording strings and just having a great time, and then getting to commission the art for the cover. It's been just super cool.
I bet it sounds like it. And the cover is incredible. And you can take a look at it at Respawn at WSHU.org or RespawnShow.com. I'll put a photo of the cover right on the page there. Cause yeah, it's eye-catching and it's got tentacles and it's red. So yeah, it's just amazing. And Chris, it is always so much fun to talk with you. And congratulations again. This is just an awesome soundtrack.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. And you tell people don't listen during a storm or at night, but I think that's exactly when you should listen if you really want to get the full brunt of the experience.
Yeah, that's true. I should just sort of, get a little braver and but anyway, thanks again for your time. This was really fun.
Yeah, thank you.